Back in early August, Paeonia fruit farmer Jeff Schwartz whistled as he worked with his team of pickers. There was plenty to be happy about in his orchards.
These are perfect right now. These are oxheart blood plums.
Jeff broke out his pocket knife and sliced into the sweet, purple-hearted fruit.
Pick it. Definitely pick that tree.
Timing when to pick is Jeff's last critical decision in the season.
So you grow the fruit all year. You tend to it. You take care of it. You water it. You mow it. You weed it. You fertilize it. You really take care of it. And only thing you're doing that for is this one moment. This is the moment that you've spent the whole year on. You don't want to blow it.
And in retrospect, the whole agricultural year felt like it could have been blown at every turn. The first time I met Jeff Schwartz in early April, he was lighting fires under his cherry and apricot trees because they were blooming 3 weeks early. A late spring frost could have devastated the crop. Then came the early summer drought. But by the end of August, every crop in Jeff's field had not only survived the weird weather, every one of them had thrived.
All varieties of all fruits, so all the plums, all the types of apples, all the peaches, all of it, are bumper.
And by bumper, Jeff means both super tasty and super sized, and the superlatives just keep going.
Our tomatoes are twice as big. The harvest is early. The harvest is bigger because it's been growing more.
But why so much growing success after a year that, on the onset, seemed so stressful? Well, Jeff has one theory, maybe two. He says that incredibly warm nights all spring and summer made the fall harvest a 1-in-100-year crop.
So I think, I don't know this, but I think if your nights are staying above 60 degrees, rather than stopping when it gets cold and just kind of hunkering down until the morning, we've had active growth for 24 hours.
Let's see, spring and summer.
Okay. To check out Jeff's theories, several scientists had to weigh in.
To confirm, okay.
Ken Kunkel studies climate variability at the National Climate Data Center in Asheville, North Carolina.
So yeah, in one sense, he's right. That it is maybe a 1-in-100-year. Actually, we haven't seen anything higher in the last 117 years.
The spring and summer of 2012 saw the warmest ever nighttime minimum temperatures across the whole United States on record.
And our period of record goes back to 1895. This is national. There can always be regional differences.
Getting a handle on those regional differences requires a visit to the Western Colorado Research Center on Orchard Mesa in Grand Junction. The experts there display quite a few regional differences themselves.
I'm from Nepal.
From Chile.
Germany. Okay. And we have someone from Nebraska, but we keep him in the basement. He's downstairs.
But when it comes to the record fruit harvests in western Colorado, all the scientists here agree.
Jeff, probably the higher quality of the crops this year was due to the longer growing season and not the high temperatures during night.
That's Amaya Atucha, a fruit specialist from Chile. She says trees produced carbohydrates during the day when the sun and photosynthesis is taking place. But during the night, when there's no light, trees, like all living organisms, respire.
So what they do is they consume part of those carbohydrates that they produce during the day. When the night temperatures are higher, what happens is that they consume more carbohydrates than if the temperatures were lower.
Which means those balmy nights aren't helping the fruit grow. Amaya says that's why New Zealand is famous for its apple harvests. The sunny hot days and the cold, cold nights. But still, low evening temperatures are indicative of an extra long growing season.
2012 has been the second warmest year on record that we have here at the station, in growing degree days.
That's the German, Horst Kaspari, Colorado's state expert on grapes. Growing degree days, he says, are a back-of-the-envelope estimate of photosynthesis and plant growth. And May, June, July, and August all had temperatures above normal.
500 degree days above normal, so the whole plant process was faster. We had an early harvest, and we had a short harvest.
Harvests for fruits and vegetables came in anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks earlier than normal. But according to Horst, if you look at the last 50 years of records at the Orchard Mesa Station, this new growing season is becoming the new normal.
We have our last frost in spring about 1 week earlier, and our first fall frost about 10 days later. We gained something like almost 3 weeks of frost-free season from 64 to 2012. Does that constitute global warming or a blip in something? I don't know. It's just an observation. I know that we now have more growing season and we have more warmth than we had in the 60s.
Climate change can bring opportunities as well as challenges for farmers.
David Wolf studies climate change and horticulture at Cornell University in New York. He says Jeff's bumper crop experience aligns precisely with what he's seeing with fruit growers worldwide. In a warming world, Wolf says, it's access to irrigation water that makes all the world of difference.
With the warmer temperatures and longer growing seasons we're seeing, those with irrigation are getting bumper crop, and those without it are getting horrible yields, worse than they've ever seen.
Wolf says he believes farmers could adapt to gradual shifts in the growing season, but unfortunately, that's not what appears to be happening. Winter in particular appears to swing between extremes, setting the stage for both the spring growing season and irrigation supplies.
That kind of is what scares me. We're really the first generation of farmers ever who can't rely on the historical weather records for our area to tell us, you know, what to plant, how to grow it, and all of that.
Like many Western Colorado farmers, Jeff Schwartz says every year is a different year.
You feel like you learn almost a lifetime of information in a season.
As for this year's lesson, Jeff says,
in a bumper season, in a bumper crop, we can conform to its schedule no matter what, but we just have to be with the fruit. There's no question where your priority focus, both in your head and your time, has to be.
I See Change is produced by Julia Kumari Drapkin and brought to you by KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio, and Localore, a national public media initiative produced by AIR, the Association for Independence in Radio, with financial support by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Wincote Foundation, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, and the National Endowment for the Arts. Our theme music was produced by Joe Allen and Issa Caress.